Tonight I want us to look at the word of I'm thirsty. Now, you say that's two words. You said word of. Anytime you're talking about Scripture, you're talking about the Word of God. So all Scripture is going to be focusing on the Word of God. What does God say? Now, He may use multiplicity of words to make the statement, but it's the Word of God. We're going to look at Jesus' humanity. Now, without the humanity of Jesus, we are all lost still in our sins. Jesus had to become 100% human. God knew what it was going to take before time began, and God had set everything into motion. You heard me talk about this morning. God sets everything in order. There is order, not confusion, in God's creation. And God sets the order. There is order, not chaos, in God's creation. And God sets the order. So therefore, He wanted us to realize that He loves us so much that He's willing to suffer the human experience because He loves us, that we might be saved and be able to be with Him in glory. Now, John 19, verses 28 through 29. After this, Jesus is on the cross. Jesus has suffered through every unimaginable torture that you can even conceive of and many that you couldn't think of. But here's, now on this scripture you're looking at, something you might want to, especially if you do a lot of studying on scripture. To this point, all 100% of prophecy focusing on Christ on the cross dying for us had been completed, except for one more part, I thirst. It's the final one, the I thirst. But it doesn't make it the least important. Because what this is doing is pulling Jesus' humanity into view for us to be able to see that from the human standpoint, He thirsted, but also from His Godhead standpoint, Him being the Son of God, that the other type of thirst was more desires that He fulfill it. Yet He was going to complete it all. Now you're going to see the scripture will pull all this together for us here in a second. But what you're looking at now is on the cross. After this, everything else is going on. Jesus knew that everything had been completed. Told you. Everything had, all the prophecy about Him going to the cross had been fulfilled. So that the scriptures would come true. That's Psalm 69:21, but we will see that at the bottom of the page. You don't have to write it down, you're going to see it. The scriptures would come true. He said, I am thirsty. Now there was a jar full of vinegar there. So the soldier soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a branch of a hyssop plant. You'll see that in Exodus 12:22. I have it for you down there also. On a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. Now, the scripture lets us know as they're taking this reed from the hyssop plant, and they have the sponge on the reed of the hyssop plant. What makes that so important for us? It was that the final plague in Egypt, upon Egypt, which was the death plague of, and God is telling the Hebrew nation, you take the plant of the hyssop, dip it in the lamb's blood. Now, He was telling, this wasn't Joshua going around doing this like it was in the movie. He told each one of the head of the households, you do this, take this, dump it into the blood, and then you put it over the top part and on each side. And when the death angel comes through, that death will pass over you. That's the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is now bringing into focus the fulfillment. So what do they put the sponge on? The reed of a hyssop plant. They had the sponge to reach it up to Jesus to give him soured vinegar or cheap wine, soured vinegar on it. But that vinegar, and when now this is right at the beginning, the first time he says, I thirst, they stick it up. Once he tasted it, he refused to drink it. So let me give you a little background on that. Why? Did he not say he was thirsty? Yes, he did. And they were giving him this soured wine to drink. But that was also the wine that they would give anyone else that was being crucified. Even the Romans. Crucifixion was such a horrific way to die that even they felt sorry for the ones who were suffering. So they would give them this soured vinegar wine to dull the pain of the crucifixion. It was sort of like a drug. It was something to ease the pain so they could would not be in such horrible pain at death. Even they were doing this. But Jesus couldn't do that. He refused to accept anything that was going to dull the pain of dying for my sin or your sin. What if that had been the point of he's mentioning my name on that cross? And so he was dull that he didn't get the full feeling of the sacrifice that he had to make for each and every sin that you and I or all of creation would ever commit. So therefore, once he realized what it was, he didn't drink it. Now later, he drinks it. Why? Well, let's look at it and let's see. He had to prove also that he was 100% human. There's nothing that could drive man to the greatest feeling of thirst than crucifixion, the loss of blood, the desire to replenish. All of that was there. And so he had to show 100% God. He would not take anything to dull the pain. But at the end, when he said, it is finished, he's getting ready to declare it. But he had to take the drink to show that he was 100% human. Now, let me delve into that a little more. Why? The first century church, there have been arguments about Christianity since the beginning of Christianity. And you've had people that would argue about it within the churches. So there was this belief that had come out that Jesus was either was 100% God or he wasn't Christ at all. Not that he was 100% human, as we know and believe. 100% God, 100% human. So had he come up short and not shown his humanity, they would have used that. Now see, there's proof. He was thirsty. Any human being in that kind of thirst would have accepted a drink. At the end, after it was completed, after he knew it was all done, everything had been fulfilled, he took a drink. And then he said, it's finished. He showed it all. So he was going to make sure that you and I would get the truth. But the only way that you and I can believe this truth is from the inside. You can't be reading everything that's coming out in paper. Gosh, folks, that you're going to stay so confused if you get onto that stuff. Salvation is of the Lord and it's spiritual, not from your brain. And you're reading all of this junk that's coming out here. This guy says this. This guy says this. Well, let me ask you, what does Jesus say inside of you? When Jesus saved you, did he not confront you personally? Would he not continue to do that? So why do we chase every wave of every ocean, every new tide that comes in, every new idea? Well, you know, they may have it over here, or they may have it over there. Folks, if you don't have it in here, you ain't going to find it over here or over there, either one. I almost started preaching, didn't I? Yeah. Now, okay. Here we go. What can we learn from the I'm thirsty statement of Jesus? Oh, this I'm thirsty goes a lot deeper, folks, than you can imagine. Number one, we learn that Jesus really was human. Philippians 2, 7, 8. Jesus, this is his story. Now, why don't we just read the Bible and accept it? Why do we have to make it so confusing? Jesus gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born to be a man and became a servant. Okay, I can relate to that, can't you? And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God. Even when that, being obedient to God, caused his death on the cross. I accept that as a fact. Jesus gave up his place with God in heaven. He came down because he was going to live the human experience for me and you. That's the ultimate of love. So he did it for those who didn't deserve it. He did it. And then we don't believe it? Number two, we learn that Jesus really was the promised Savior. Why? Remember the prophecies? I was telling you they had to be fulfilled. Jesus was making sure. Psalm 69:21 is the prophecy pointing to this one. When I was thirsty, they offered me vinegar. Pointing straight to exactly what's going on. The best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. Just keep reading. You want to know what it meant? Just keep reading. As my professor said, Dr. Redding, if you see a therefore, see what it's there for. So you look and you just keep reading. And the Bible explains itself to you. I like God's Word explaining himself to me. And me not taking a chance on someone else. Randy Kidder and I think exactly the same on this one. We both read I don't know how many different commentaries. But a lot of the commentaries I read, I don't agree with. Well, those people are smart, Larry. Why don't you agree with them? Because I don't believe they're correct in what they're saying. When I would get all of this scripture in, and when the different organizations all send it to you, and you're reading the scripture, and then you'll see the story about it below it, and I think, that's not what that means. That's not what that means at all. But they must be smart because they charge you $25 for it. For the book? No, for the page. What do you mean, the book? No, they charge you for it, so they must know what they're talking about. But then you look at it and you go back to Scripture and think, where in the world did they get that? I love it when they pull up this Scripture and Jesus wasn't even there to be saying it. But they put it in red. Well, it's red, he said it. And you look at it, and you say, he wasn't even there. Now, so, and what they do on that one is, well, see, just read what the part in red. I highlight everything. All of my whole color, my printouts are all sorts of colorful. Drives my wife nuts. Colorful when I print them out. I look at the color and it tells me something. Okay, what? I don't know. According to what I just studied, how I'd studied it and all of that. But that just simply tells you I can highlight in red anything I want to. Now, the whole Bible is red letter as far as I'm concerned. But not the stuff they make up on their own ideas. You don't do that. Okay. When I was thirsty, they offered me vinegar. Exodus 12:22. Take a branch of the hyssop plant, dip it in the bowl filled with blood, and then wipe the blood on the sides and the tops of the door frames. That goes back to your hyssop plant. Why, everything was pointing to the ultimate Lamb of God. Dip it in the blood. That's the blood of the Lamb right there on that cross, folks. The ultimate. Jesus is signing, sealing, and delivering our salvation to us. Number three, we learn how much Jesus really loves us. I'm learning every day how much Jesus really loves me. Because I'm still breathing. Do I deserve life? No. Jesus said that he wanted me to have it, so I got it. Do I deserve salvation? Only through Jesus do I get salvation. Not over my own works do I have it. Yet one of the biggest pushes today, if you'll be good, you'll go to heaven. If you'll be good, only good things are going to happen to you. Yeah, you didn't read the Bible. Only good things didn't happen to anybody that followed Jesus. Okay, Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's his true love. That's the salvation. Page 2. What is our Christian responsibility when it comes to the thirsty? Now, I'm going to read something to you. You all have heard me preach this time and again. You've heard me say it from Scripture. The time is coming when the mouth of the preachers of God will be silenced. Now listen to it here. You're going to see this Amos 8:11-13. The time is coming when I will send famine on the land. The people will hunger, but not for bread. They will be thirsty, but not for water. They will hunger and thirst for a message from the Lord. People will stagger everywhere from sea to sea, searching for the word of the Lord. Running here, going there. You see it? But they will not find it. Beautiful girls, fine young men will grow faint and weary, thirsting for the Lord's word. Hunger and thirst for a word from God and his silence. God has shut to the door. They see at time in their own life when the physical water, the physical food was nothing compared to the starvation inside the spirit. All of us know we're spiritual because we see our spirituality on the inside. We talk to the Lord from within. We don't have to open our mouth. Well, no, you've got to thank him from your brain. No, you don't. I got a spirit, folks. My spirit is separate from my brain. If it were not, then my spirit would die with the human brain that is in me when it ceases to function. It's not hitting on all cylinders right now. but my spirit is solid. Larry Stutler, I knew you'd love that one. But that's a fact about life. But see, what I think has nothing to do with what I know that I'm saved. What my brain's tricky. Is yours? Do you ever trick your brain tricky? Yeah. It's got, you know, I remember as a prison chaplain, I would get those dead man stares. Joey's giving me the dead man stare when I said your brain is tricky. Because you can be tricked in the brain, but your spirit can't. You listen to somebody out here that starts teaching something contrary from what the Spirit has told you is truth about Christ. You know it in a heartbeat. That red flag starts popping up everywhere. And as that red flag pops up everywhere, then you realize something. That ain't right. You know, that what they're saying, that's not true. That didn't come from my brain. That came from my spirit. My spirit tells me that. Our Christian responsibility is to serve Jesus. How? Serving others. You serve others, you serve Jesus. He'd always said in Matthew 25:37-40, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And he will tell them, I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you were doing it to me. Yeah, you was doing it to me. Do you remember the Roman soldier that was standing by Jesus when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And when then he sees the earthquake and witnesses all the stuff going on, and he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Now, that Roman soldier didn't know Scripture, I guarantee you that, at all. Well, how would I know he didn't know this Scripture? Wasn't written yet. Okay? Wasn't written yet. But he didn't know Old Testament Scripture either. But he knew something, how? Not from his brain. His spirit. There's something different about this guy, Jesus. Why, he don't even talk like the other rabbis talk. He cocky. He talks back. You know what they said? Quote it. He speaks with one in authority. He had the power of the Father in him. Matthew 10:42. If you give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. I think it Greek may say, you are guaranteed not to lose your reward. You will not lose your reward. As a matter of fact, in one of the translations, which is the King James, I think, in that translation it says, he who gives a prophet a cold cup of water will receive a prophet's reward. Now, I believe that's King James, but somebody will straighten me out if they hear this, if it wasn't. Three ways to satisfy your spiritual thirst. You ready for it? Number one, realize what you're really thirsty for. Realize what you're really thirsty for. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. I long for you. My whole being desires you. Like a dry, worn out, and waterless land, my soul is thirsty for you. Do you all realize that that's a prophecy on Jesus on the cross too? Do you remember the prophecy where, or the scripture where it says David is saying, "My tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. I'm so dry for man." That's the cross. That's the prophecy of Christ on the cross, when that's how thirsty that he was. That, you know, his whole body was bagging out. "Dry, worn out, and waterless land, my soul is thirsty for you." Never was a time that Jesus didn't always thirst to be with the Father. And you got to remember this. Of all the hell on that cross, none of it meant anything was even close to being as horrific as the time when he felt totally alone, separated from God the Father. Never, ever had it ever been to where Jesus was ever separated from God his Father. But on the cross, it had to be. He had to conquer hell. He had to conquer all of the sin that was set upon us in our life. And he had to win. The only way that he could conquer for you and for me was to take the punishment of separation from God the Father. That's when he cried out, "My Father, my God, my God, my God, my God, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, why have you forsaken me?" When he cried that out, that broke it, the power of all hell. He conquered. And for me, when it really hit home, was when I realized that he did that for me. If I was the only one that's ever born, if you were the only one that would ever to exist, he would have still done the same thing for you and for me. He had to conquer it. That was proof for you as a Christian. You'll never, ever feel the separation from God the Father. You can't. Jesus conquered it. He did it all for us. Realize, number two, realize that Jesus understands your pain. He had to do it as a human being in order to understand the pain that we go through. Man, did he take it all. Whew. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. "He took our suffering on himself, and he felt our pain for us. He was wounded for the wrong that we did, and crushed for the evil we did. The punishment which made us well, it was given to him. And we are healed because of his wounds." We are healed because of his wounds. Some people want to take that, twist that scripture around also, so the spotlight can be on them as a human being in the healing ministries. Do I believe in a healing ministry? You better believe it. I've seen it. Listen, folks, I can't count the number of healings I've seen throughout this church in the 25 years I've been here as pastor. But it's not from a man. It's a gift from God that touches those lives. We are to pray. God does the healing. I can't come up and slap you upside the head and get you healed. I can come up and slap you upside the head and get hurt for doing it, but I can't get you healed that way. But I can tell God on whatever it is that's messing with you, and he is the one that's going to make sure that you are taken care of. Hebrews 4, verse 15, "Our high priest," listen to this, "understands our weaknesses." Whew. I'm glad somebody does, aren't you? I don't understand my weaknesses, and I have multitudes of them. As a matter of fact, in peanut butter fudge on my desk, I'm going to find myself weak and indulge later. But think of it that way. He understands our weaknesses. Why? For he faced all of the same temptations we do. And yet, he did not sin. Okay? How can I be presented to God the Father sinless? Only through Jesus. He faced all of them. The difference is, he never sinned. Never sinned. Number three, the last one. Stop looking for satisfaction elsewhere. You're looking for it outside the Spirit, you're not going to find it. Stop looking for satisfaction somewhere else. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, my people have done two evils. They turned away from me. That's an evil. The spring of living water, and they have dug their own wells, which are broken wells that cannot even hold water. Doing our own thing. Going to heaven our way. You ain't going. You ain't going your way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No other way. John 7, 37 and 38. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, if you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. It is not what's with on the outside of you that makes the difference, but what's on the inside. Evil that causes us to commit sin does not come from the outside. God has told us that. He says it's not what you're going to look at. It's not what you see. It's not what you hear. But evil comes from the heart of man. It comes from the inside out. You know, I often wondered whether there were people that were just pure evil from the beginning of their life. I wondered that until I became the prison chaplain. And I met them. And I have no doubt. Some people chose evil from the time that they could remember. I knew what was right, but I didn't want to do what was right. I wanted to hurt somebody. I didn't want to help them. I wanted to hurt them. That happens from within a human being. And the only cure for that is from within. Not all the psychology in the world is not going to change the heart of an individual who doesn't want to change. Jesus said, I come, and who calls on my name will be saved. And they curse him right on their deathbed. Jesus said, where am I?
John 7:37-38.
On the last day, the climax of there, Jesus said, if you believe in me, come and drink, for the scriptures declare the rivers of living water will flow out from within. Okay. They flowed out from within of Jesus. He was pure. Look at John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus said, people soon become thirsty again after drinking this water. Remember the woman at the well? But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. That's salvation, folks. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift from Jesus Christ sent down from God the Father because he loves us. There is no eternal life outside of Jesus. You're not going to find it in all the books. There might be a lot of good books out there, a lot of inspiring pages to read. But folks, there's nothing more inspiring that you'll ever find in your life than the inspiring truth of knowing that you know Jesus.